Tell me about specifically Tidworth Army Camp in Salisbury. I know the brides went there before they boarded the ship, but from what I hear, it sounds more like a prison than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, initially it was billed as a country club for brides, but it certainly wasn't. I mean, the women were sleeping in these large, inadequately heated dormitories. There were reports that the beds were sometimes infested with fleas, and they ate in the mess hall served by resentful German prisoners of war. And the worst thing of all was the humiliating medical exams. The women had to strip and put on a robe and then go up on a stage one by one and open the robe and be examined with a man with a torch. Right. And lots of them talked about being really horrified by that. Some even walked out of the camp and as a result lost their free passage to America.
Really?
But they said, if our husbands really want us, they can come and get us. They were just so outraged.
So they get through that difficult situation, then they get on board the ships, and even that's not a barrel of laughs either, apparently.
Yeah, well, sometimes, you know, women heard that they would be sailing on the Queen Mary and they imagined, you know, a luxury cruise liner, but obviously they were still in their troop ship arrangement. So you might be in a first class cabin, but that first class cabin might have 9 bunks in it. But they did have the American Red Cross on board the ships to make the voyages a bit easier for the women. And they would organise nurseries to look after the children. They set up whole programmes of activities like knitting classes and sing-alongs and bingo nights. And they also ran lectures for the women about adjusting to life in America on subjects like how to shop in American dollars and how to pledge allegiance to the flag.
Okay, but then unfortunately for some of the people that made it over there, their husbands weren't there to pick them up on the other side and they were just left in limbo. So what did they do?
Yeah.
They just turned tail and come straight back home?
Yeah, that's right. You're only allowed to get off the ship if your husband had first signed for you, and sometimes the men didn't turn up. Sometimes that was just because there was lots of last minute changes to the passenger list and the husbands would turn up at the wrong time. But
okay.
Sometimes because the couples had been separated for so long, the men had changed their minds or even started relationships with other women. So some of those abandoned brides ended up living on handouts from the Red Cross, who could offer to help them sort out a divorce. But some women chose not to do that. They decided they wanted to stay in America. And one woman we spoke to, she was told that her husband was living with another woman, and they asked her, you know, would you like to divorce him? And she said no. She went to his house, she kicked the other woman out, and lived with her husband just long enough to get on her own 2 feet, make herself financially stable, and then divorced him. And she said, I was going to make him pay.
Well, talking of divorce, one of the things that comes out of this piece is that the divorce rates for the GI brides are actually lower than that of the general population. Why do you think that was? Were they just trying to make it work?
Well, I think if you're going to go all that way to be with someone, you know, give up everything and everyone you know, then you've probably got quite a lot invested in making that relationship work.
Yeah.
Also, to be honest, many women probably felt they didn't have much choice because they couldn't afford the ticket home even if they wanted to. And I think for some of those who are having bad experiences like my grandmother, I think there was a certain shame in admitting to people back home that things hadn't worked out. And the last thing they wanted was to come home and be a burden on their parents. So I think a lot of women struggled on despite that. But overall, I mean, I think the fact is, if you're willing to give up everything for somebody, then you probably love them very much.
Yes, absolutely. So what kind of resources are out there to help our readers research their GI bride ancestors?
Well, one thing I found quite helpful was the there are digitised copies of the New York passenger lists going up to 1957 on Ancestry.com.
Okay.
And if you look at that, it will give you the address where the passenger was going to stay. So I used that to find out where my grandparents were living in the 1940s and track down their old house. And also the 1940 census can tell you where your GI ancestor was living before the war. there are army records at the National Personnel Records Centre in St. Louis, although lots of them were unfortunately destroyed in a fire. If they do have your ancestors' record, you can order it for a small fee by calling the records centre. And also, the National Archives at College Park have the Archive of the American Red Cross, which has hundreds of pages that relate to the War Bride operation. And they will describe on specific ships and War Bride trains exactly what happened on board.
OK, and there's also the World War II War Bride Association. What exactly do they do?
Well, they're a national organisation in America, but they're made up of smaller groups all around the country that kind of sprang up over the years as war brides began to find each other and build local groups for mutual support, to feel less homesick. And even now, 70 years on, these women still meet up, usually on a monthly basis, and have Victoria sponge cake and a cup of tea and reminisce about life back in Britain. And, you know, despite being there for decades, a lot of them still feel very British, and they regard Britain as their home.
Well, it's such a great topic, Nola. There's so many little aspects here for us to talk about, and I'm sure there's a lot there for our readers to get their teeth into if they can find their ancestors. Many thanks for joining us.